Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
I got my big ol' big splint. Now, big cast.
Ooh,
whoa,
yeah.
Big boy. How long you got that guy for? Do you know?
At least 2 weeks, and then I might go to a boot or a cast after that. I'm not sure.
Like an air cast or something?
Yeah, and then eventually a walking boot, and then nothing.
Then eventually a walking Phoenix.
Then walking Phoenix, and then finally I'll be back on my feet.
Mm-hmm. Then you'll be a rising Phoenix.
Thank you, Sean. For anyone who doesn't know out there, I broke my leg. I'm anticipating I'll use this as a cold open.
Is it because Michael kicked the ladder out from under you and said, "Hey, Alex, how's it hanging?"
That's correct.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly. If your business paper needs or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people, Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people, Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host, one of W.B. Jones's construction guys, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, Fun Run organizer.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Hi, Braveheart.
Is that it? That's so short.
Pam, I'm coming down to get my present.
Every week we get together and discuss our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, from first kisses to first bike rides, from parkour to slack lines, from snowmen to hay kings, we're discussing The Parking Lot.
That was nice.
That's a fantastic intro. Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Today's episode continues our trend or theme of carving up the Dunder Mifflin Cinematic Universe, the DMCU, into different physical locations. So we've talked about the annex, the warehouse, etc.
3 years of juvie at the DMCU myself.
And today we're talking about The Parking Lot. And I know that seems like a pretty boring topic, kind of off the top of your head. It's like, what's next? The bathroom. But but when you think about The Parking Lot and the different moments that stack up there, I think we're going to find like there's a lot of interesting things that happen there.
And
I think
tune in next week for Ryan's office.
Yeah.
The closet.
Yeah, exactly. It's a dual purpose. It's a multi-purpose room.
Right.
But as the show begins, The Parking Lot is a very small expansion of the world. And then as the show goes along, the parking lot becomes this sort of buffer between the Dunder Mifflin world and the real world. So all these things that can't happen within the physical office happen in the parking lot. And there's even a gate that keeps them sealed off. So I think as we go through these moments, we'll kind of see that brief extension of the world. But
it's a topic that when you start to think about how much happens in the parking lot, it's like way more than you initially realize. 'Cause
so much.
When we first talked about this idea, it's like, oh, well, like the Goodbye Toby party and Hey Place, and then you just realize like There is so much stuff that happened. A lot of action sequences happen out in the warehouse in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Fights of all kinds, whether it's a duel, if it's Pam slapping Michael, it's the snowball fight. There's all sorts of stuff going on out there.
The boom operator hitting.
The boom operator. Andy getting 12 drummers drumming. Like, it's a huge show. A lot happens out there in the parking lot, and it bears talking about.
All of the things that happen in the parking lot, or the amount of events that happen in the parking lot, coincides pretty well with the fact that realistically it doesn't seem like all of those businesses, Vance Refrigeration and the Dunder Mifflin Warehouse, can exist in that one building. Yeah, similarly, there are so many moments that happen in the parking lot.
There's just enough parking
small space
for Dunder Mifflin Scranton. That's about
it.
It's kind of weird they got the parking spaces back. I feel like the real argument would have been like, hey, when can these other businesses have some parking spaces here, guys? Cool guy Paul, where am I going to put my motorcycle, you know?
Yeah, where's cool guy Paul's motorcycle this entire time?
It should always be up front. It should be
right up front. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, for today's episode, I was just thinking we'd jump around to some of our favorite parking lot moments. Just like Edwin was saying, there's a lot of...
You're talking like a gainer into a double somersault, those kind of moves, jump around.
Gainer!
Into the trash can, which looks way too full for you to actually fit in or land on top of.
There's a lot of growth that happens in the parking lot. There's a lot of big lessons learned. Michael does learn how to ride a bike for the first time in the parking lot.
After forgetting how to ride it during Benihana Christmas.
That's right.
In which he rides a bike narrowly into the office, which is difficult.
I think people have brought that up. I think you can make the argument that he doesn't really ride it. He only rides it like 3 feet at a time.
Definitely.
True.
So he just kind of pushes
on
it.
And he crashes and he swears. Yeah. I guess like what would be a good jumping off point is like, do you have a favorite
How about
parking
the roof?
Lot?
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. <that's> Do you have a favorite parking lot moment?
Oh boy. I already said it, but for me, I think the whole Goodbye Toby party, is they really break the mold there in terms of having a huge carnival there. That seemingly there's no end to the budget. They have the Ferris wheel. There's a fireworks show. There's
a raccoon in a car.
There's a proposal happening. I mean, they use every square inch of that parking lot to throw this massive thing that's supposed to be, Jim's big moment to propose, and ends up being Andy's big moment instead. It's heartbreaking for Jim, but great for us.
Well, it would have been very poetic for Jim to actually be able to propose to Pam in the parking lot, because that is where he confesses his love to her for the first time at the end of Casino Night.
Also a heartbreaking scene, a lot of tears.
That's right.
One of the most iconic and memorable moments, I think, for me from the entire show. And they do a really good job of shooting it from unique angles. I think that's one kind of interesting thing about the parking lot, is how they convey the space all the time. I'm thinking of because when they exit out of the side of the warehouse, it seems, and they're walking down, and it's easy to forget that they're right next to that door, but they really are. They're right outside the office.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of establishes, or continues to establish, the parking lot as a place where these moments happen that can't take place within the physical office, or that people don't want to take place within the physical office.
Yeah, along the same lines, when Dwight builds all the snowmen out there at the end with Jim's being terrorized, that's another favorite parking lot. One, mainly because of, like you just said, the way they pan up to Dwight on the roof, kind of evil grinning, saying that, you know, fear is the ultimate enemy.
The greatest snowball
is fear. That's just really well done. And just the way that they film that as attacking all the snowmen on the way back to their car. It's great stuff.
And I'm going to hammer this point home a lot, but If Dwight had done that like at Jim and Pam's house, that would have felt a little more sinister, a little more out of line from Dwight. But it's within this whole office world, and they're driving out of that, and they go home. So it feels a little more harmless based on the setting.
That does make me think of something else too. That there's like, it's that last thing, that it's that last checkpoint that you need to cross in order to like be on your way home, right? So there's a few times where they run into trouble trying to past that checkpoint, right? Where they just, you know, Jim wants everyone to work late on Friday so that they don't have to come in on Saturday. And it's like they get down to the parking lot and the gate's locked, right? And they have to call Hank and try and get him to come down. Or when Jim and Pam in the delivery are trying to rush out of the parking lot, and it's like 5 o'clock, and so everyone's trying to leave. Or when they all drink the espresso for the first time and they all try to leave at the same time and they're all honking at each other and stuff like that. Or when Dwight is trying to rush off to go pick up Michael during the injury and crashes his car and gets the concussion.
Vomits all over his car.
It is the beginning and end of a lot of episodes. You think about, just like you said, them all exiting the driveway or trying to exit the parking lot at the same time, or Michael at the beginning of season four, like the season begins with Michael entering and hitting Meredith with his car.
Yeah.
There's a lot that happens there. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's a place of like things can often be suspended there during the office. And this is a lot of what like let's take the fire right in season two. Like this is one of the first times we get the office just milling about in groups while they're waiting for the fire to be resolved. I remember this happening in school back when we went to school in buildings and we had classmates, and you get a fire drill and everyone would go outside. It was just sort of weird. You're in limbo during the school day and you're all just sitting there, and you start coming up with games and playing Desert Island, stuff like that. And that's one of the first times we really get to hang out in the parking lot with the cast, is during that episode. And yeah, it's a time where we start figuring some stuff out about characters that don't have to do with work, such as what movies they take to a desert island.
It's funny that you bring up bring it up in relation to school. Cause like, I mean, there's a few times where it's like literally referred to as recess to like go out into the parking lot. I mean, during, the convict, right? That's like Michael tries to give everybody outdoor activity time. And we get things like the soccer game that Charles Minor throws, during the Michael Scott, paper company arc.
Dude, I'm just realizing now Jim takes a lot of hits in the parking lot. Not a good place for Jim. Like the whole thing with the soccer with Charles does not go well. The snowballs with Dwight.
Yeah.
The thing where he gets everyone locked inside at the end of the day, his proposal doesn't work. Nothing's going right for Jim in the parking lot.
It's funny you mentioned the idea of recess, because childhood Michael Scott on Fundle Bundle is asked by Edward R. Meow what your favorite subject in school is. It's recess. Yeah. So it is perfect that Michael kind of sees that as an extension. I'm thinking too of when the merger, when Michael uses it. Michael uses it as his staging ground for he lets the air out of everyone's tires.
Yeah.
Try to get them all to all band together. Is it always like this? Sometimes he brings more costumes. There's an element of that. I think, too, you were talking about us learning more about the characters. I think the first instances where we kind of see the parking lot come to life is in season one. I'm thinking specifically of Hot Girl at the end of season one, where we see Michael and Ryan going through Michael's car. And we get to see that insight into his perfect smell alike, Rite Aid, Night Swept. That's all right. The filet of fishes.
The magazine clone. Yeah.
And then
that's over the course of several months, Ryan. Still.
There's a what flavor is it? Blue. Blue is not a flavor. Blue Blast. Oh, Blue Blast. No, put that one in the trunk. There's also an Arctic Chill. I would like that in the passenger cup holder. There's a throwback line to that moment where Kelly is with Michael and she says, "How many number of fours did you order?"
Oh my gosh.
But that parking lot that we see is a totally different parking lot from the rest.
Is it really?
Of the show. Or at least it seems very different if it's not.
The first season seems to have both, because I think that in the Alliance we see the what becomes the real Dunder Mifflin parking lot when they're both in Dwight's car.
Oh yes, that's true. Another example where they go outside of the office to kind of conduct the secret plan.
Right. But but yeah, you're right. There's a when they're, especially when it's the end of the night and they're all going back to their cars, and Michael still thinks Amy Adams is coming home with him or getting in the car with him, and they split off. That is a totally different parking lot than we see later in the show.
That reminds me of a moment in an employee transfer where Jim and Michael exit the building at the same time. And Michael turns to Jim and says, you know, you can let everyone go a few minutes early if you want. And he goes, okay, no, I'm going to New York to have lunch with Pam and my brothers.
Yeah.
Just that moment where they split and Michael is completely he's just delusional about what's going on with the rest of the office.
Yeah. Why couldn't Jim let everyone go home early?
Well, he was leaving early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think too, you know, I mentioned that employee transfer episode. I think one thing I noticed was the key kind of thing that I thought of with Michael and the office and the idea of the physicality of the space was Michael says, you know, the office is a place where dreams come true. And it is kind of this fantasy land where they can do all these things that they do. And over the course of the show, they are established as a successful branch. And I'm thinking of when he and Holly first get together in Crime Aid and they're about to leave and to go into the parking lot and Holly pretends that she forgot her keys and they go back. So them getting together happens in the physical location of the office, even though we don't see it, even though they turn up the volume really loud.
We're turning this all the way down.
We're totally alone. But then if you think about employee transfer, the truck that Daryl takes out is out of the parking lot. So they're using that space as a sort of conduit. And it's even more kind of heartbreaking to think about them leaving, not from Holly's house or not from another location, but from the office.
And well, we see too, when there's so many covert meetings that happen around the corner from the parking lot. I can't even start to think of all the different pairs of people who have meetings down there, but it's like when you go around that corner, that's sort of where you get to see some of those loading docks. There's the dumpster, there's all that stuff. So this is where, you know, Jim leaves the magical bean plants for Dwight when he has them grown. So we can assume that's like the loading docks, but we don't ever get like a full shot going all the way around. We see, you know, obviously we see Pam timing Dwight running around with a thermometer and that sort of thing. But we could assume maybe there's other parking spaces for the other businesses, different entrances on the other side.
Right.
You put a note in my food. Yeah. I made it sterile. Just saying that doesn't make it so.
Phyllis, come quick. Someone slashed your tires. Yeah. A lot of violence happening out there in the parking lot.
There's a moment too, where Dwight is standing out there and Angela opens that door and she asks Dwight to go and feed Sprinkles because she's got to go visit the Alky in the beginning of season 4. But it's their secrecy that they're so comfortable with, and it takes place by crossing that barrier into the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of slashing tires, what about smashing windows? We got Oscar rescuing the dog from the car in that one cold open.
One of the weirdest cold opens in the show.
And one for good measure.
Yeah. Yeah. Just That's weird. Right. No one, it's such a break of Oscar's character, I feel like, that no one would notice the sunroof was open. Much less when Dwight pours the milkshake in there.
I think that's why, in a way, we can debate how much it works, but because Oscar immediately isn't comfortable with continuing to be in this persona, when Jim says, Oscar, this is kind of your thing now.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
right. He's so quick to abandon this impulse that he's had.
Yeah.
He really does. He really takes the baton and starts directing.
Meanwhile, Kevin dies in his own car.
Yeah, I know.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. Kevin died.
Not only that, Kevin gets lost in the maze during Hay Place. Like, Kevin has been stranded in the parking lot multiple occasions.
He is the Kenny to South Park.
Yes. Kevin dies every episode of The Office. Little known fact.
You mentioned smashing windows. We also see Stanley smashing all of Michael's windows and windshield at the end of Gossip.
You see a watermelon being smashed upon Stanley's car. If it's Stanley's car, make sure you call the offices of James P. Albini, see if he handles hate crimes.
Yeah.
Put the trampoline in the baler.
Get Patch to do it.
Or the sea monster.
Patch. Yeah, or sea monster.
Let's talk about
safety training.
Safety training.
As it
utilizes the levels of the parking lot in that whole area very well. I rewatched that one today in prep for it. And there was the humor, something about the humor of yelling up at Michael with the megaphone while he's on the roof. Just really, really, really works. It's so funny because the characters are able to have little quick conversations down on the ground that Michael can't hear. Mm-hmm. And they get to sort of manipulate the messages that they're sending up to Michael as he broadcasts down what he wants. And it's just a really, really funny little gimmick for the whole cast to play.
One of the big, we've talked about big cringe moments, and I had one today watching that episode, and Michael says, "What do I have to live for?" And Daryl with the megaphone in his hands is just quiet for a really long time. Yeah. And he says,
"It's a dark silence. It's
lovely, lovely Jan.
Lovely, lovely Jan."
And then when he starts talking, he does a like, "It takes just to get out of bed every day and be you." And you see Jim and Pam just cracking up in the background. And it's one of those things where, like, they could only do that because Michael's up on the roof and he can't quite see what they're doing. Because if he saw that, he'd just be so heartbroken.
I love, too, that they discover that there's a bouncy castle because Creed just comes around the hedge zipping up his fly. Like, he just peed around the corner. He's like, "Hey, there's a bouncy house over there.
There's a castle." when they realize what's about to happen. To get him down from there. But yeah, that's such a, I mean, that whole episode is probably worth doing our own, an episode at some point. But you
I
know.
Thought it was really interesting that when he's up there and they frame those characters, it's Jim and Pam standing next to each other and Karen is kind of out of frame. And then even as Michael is going down the staircase, the way that Jim and Pam and Karen are framed, he's in the middle of them and they're both one step sort of behind him. They're all clapping together. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was super interesting the way they sort of put everything in frame.
And during that episode too, isn't it the B storyline is when they're
the betting
and Karen's just like, I don't know this place at all. I'm getting cleaned out. And we see all these different competitions happening, including the funny Netflix one. Kevin Kelly described how Netflix works. It all ends there on the parking lot. We talked about the warehouse as a place where the showdown happens, and I think the parking lot is an extension of that at times, where things get resolved, which this could transition into something like the duel, or even when Pam and Michael agree to have their fight in the parking lot. It's a place where corporate can't really have any say. It's like, fine, we're going to settle this in the parking lot.
It's a place for hay.
It's a place for hay.
Michael, was it on company property? It was on company property with company property, so double jeopardy.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to Hay Place, a place for hay.
Yeah, there is, of course, the duel happens there.
Yeah,
you have Dwight when in Women's Appreciation in season 3, Dwight is stabbing the bushes with that broomstick that he's strapping to a point. Mm-hmm. There's Michael slapping Pam slapping Michael. And then you think about that snowball episode. It's, I believe it's Classy Christmas in season 7, where Jim goes outside for the beginning of the snowball fight and Dwight has somehow chained the doors shut.
Yeah, boy.
And the first duel somehow takes place there. I think too, and then to keep going on the Jim and Dwight thing, in Free Family Portrait Studio at the end of season 8, the reason that Jim is so terrified during that time is because he may have gone too far with the tearaway suit prank that happens again in the parking lot.
In the parking lot, yes. Which reminds me of the shot of Dwight walking across the parking lot with the pumpkin on his head.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I never should have scared Aaron.
What else?
How about first kisses? Because there's actually at least two that I can think of.
Okay. Two. Took a turn, yeah.
Two. All right.
What are they?
What do you? Can you name one? Can you come up with one
of first kisses? Okay. Well, this one that happened shouldn't in the count. But Andy and that's Jessica.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
The client,
first and last
Stanley's
kiss.
Client. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Julia. Julia.
Julia. Yeah.
Jessica. Jessica is the girlfriend in season 8.
Okay. The Nard dog. I'll show you the Nard. This is the Nard dog.
Yeah,
makes the move.
That's a very good cringe moment. That's very
top
cringy.
Cringe, dude. That's real bad.
Yeah, that's a.
This
that's
is the Nard dog.
Yeah,
because then he does like the. Oh, I'm sorry. He's immediately regretful.
You want to go to a mall and talk
way
about
too
it?
Nice
Julia,
about
sorry,
no.
Yeah, Julia. Julia is also the name of Pam's friend on Happy
Julie.
Hour, right? That's Julia. Okay. Mm-hmm. Other first kisses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. What?
Can you think? This is a little, just a little mini trivia question. If you can, we don't have to spend too much time on it. If you can't come up with it,
what is it, Sean?
Michael and Donna.
Ah, yes.
You were right. You were right. And she pulls him in for the kiss at the at the car window.
I have your baguette. I think too. This is not a first kiss moment, but we're just jumping around. Is Dwight getting ready to spring the coup?
Mm.
That's where he goes to work out that feeling. I guess it's another place where you kind of release that emotion.
When he's
running really hard and he's crouched down by the bushes.
Yeah, talking to Jan.
Talk about Jan there. Yeah, or or in The Lover when Pam finds out about Michael and Helene. She rushes out of the office, and then it cuts to commercial. And then when they come back, it's just Pam screaming in the parking lot.
there's a lot of humor with cars. Obviously, it's going to happen in the parking lot. I think it's in the duel. Another super cringe moment of Michael just telling Andy that Angela's cheating on him, and waits until he's in his car, window is rolled up, and he's backing out before he actually says anything. On his way out, it's so bad. Leaving Andy just standing at an empty parking spot, just staring at what just happened.
I'm just trying to think of all the times people are trying to catch people as they're leaving in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. There's also Michael and Gossip. Stanley, you having an affair?
Look, go back to that episode and look at the way he stands in front of the car with his hands open. It's such a funny pose. It's really, really funny. You should look at it. And he gets in the car with him.
Yeah.
And then they have that long conversation and he says, no, I'm going to break it off right now. That's where I was going. And then Michael says, wait, do people often say they're going on a sales call and they go do something else? That moment of realization really hammers home for him.
That's another Michael movie moment, which I brought up on the show before, of things Michael does that he's only seen in movies that he thinks that's how you do it in real life. Like the way he stands there is probably like, this is how you stop traffic, is you have to stand in this way, because I've seen it in movies.
There's also the time when Pam is like leaving to go to school and Michael rushes down to say, the last word was seagulls. For the poem he wrote.
The way he falls down the stairs
and
he rushes out. There's a similar moment at the beginning of Niagara where he's prepared his car and it's just going to a wedding on the rear windshield and he's tied all the cans to the back. And when he peels out, they all explode because they're full cans.
Yeah. We have Michael imprints his face near the parking lot. But we don't ever get to see that again. Again, something I brought up before that I wish some point in the show someone just tripped a little bit on their way into the building and they just panned down to Michael's.
That would have been great.
Where we meet. Oh, go ahead.
No.
That's where they meet Nate.
Yes, it is.
Dwight finds him in the parking lot, he finds him on the street with the other workers. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the office is exposed to Nate. When they all gather in the conference room, who is this guy by our cars?
That's
my new maintenance worker, Nate. And then he has to take care of the beehive.
It's a palette of weapons to choose from. And let's not forget, of course, the funeral for a bird.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think that there's some times when Michael learns some big lessons, or the office is able to teach Michael some big lessons. Safety training definitely being one, and the funeral for the bird definitely being the other. When Pam sees it as an opportunity to make a metaphor and teach Michael something it's just building Michael up in the same way that safety training is.
It's a lot of life and death stuff out there, the parking lot.
Yeah,
there's another one that stands out to me that I really enjoyed rewatching is when they kick off the fun run.
Yeah.
Which it's a moment that's way too big for the office, the bullpen, or the conference room. And it's Michael giving that speech about rabies and showing Meredith as the face of rabies. There's an amazing moment of Dwight and Andy warming up together, just doing like high knees facing each other. We get to see Jan deliver a threatening ultimatum to Pam.
That's the part that I remember.
And then Daryl feeding a squirrel a peanut.
Did you say that we see the nurse getting the giant check as well?
No, but we do as well. Oh, I see you went back to school and got your degree.
Oh my God, good for you.
The moment of sincere recognition. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
The blood drive pulls up in the parking lot.
Yeah, the blood drive. That's right. You know,
again, Michael learning about love, learning about life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, that's whatever. That's the whole show is Michael learning about life, right?
That's right.
But it is interesting that that is a piece of the outside world coming into the office world.
Yes. Mm. Right.
And it kind of invites more characters into that shared universe.
It feels like Pretzel Day would be a van that comes in. You feel like you'd have some a food cart that would come in and do that, you know?
Makes more sense, yeah.
The other thing about the parking lot that the role that it plays in the show for me a lot is just to establish, like, geographically where they are, because it's often very cold out. You sort of assume it's always nice outside, or it's always, I don't know. When you're watching The Office, it's like weather doesn't matter, but so often they go out and they all have to put their coats on. It's very cold, even though it's very sunny, which... Mm-hmm. We're not that used to being from Portland here. If it's cold, it's usually not that sunny.
Right, right. And they're filming it in Van Nuys.
Right. But there's a lot of scenes where things are happening and people are kind of holding their arms. And,
right, right.
It just helps to remind, like, oh yes, these are office workers. We don't work outside. This is not a place where people like to spend time outside. It gets so cold where they are.
Have you guys ever noticed that stuff that they put on the cars?
Yes.
There's like mud and stuff like that.
What's up with that?
So that's that's a real thing. Oh yeah. That's a real thing. Like if you live in a place that snows a lot, they salt the roads. So when you're driving along, the salt gets kicked up onto your car, and then that sticks and kind of has that like dirty, frosty look. So that's what they're doing, because for a long time I didn't understand that either, but then I went to Montreal or someplace, but yeah, we're just and realized like, oh crap, like that's a real thing.
One of my coworkers used to live in Scranton, or live in Pennsylvania, I think, and he mentioned that's a real thing where the cars get so dirty, and if you even rub your jacket or your clothes on that dirt that accumulates on the side of the cars, it kind of ruins your clothing. So it does make sense that they kind of replicate it in the show.
God, I have always wondered that. It's like, why does every car look like it went through a dirt car wash or something? It's very strange.
Right, yeah.
But nope, that makes
sense.
The
salt.
Got it.
It makes Andy's Xterra choice seem a little bit better in hindsight.
Way better than the Sebring.
Rugged yet elegant.
Yes.
Or the Firebird.
Trans Am.
Pardon me.
I drive a Chrysler. Shut up.
You've always liked the Sebring. It's ridiculous for this climate. It's
ridiculous choice for this climate.
You always said you admired
it. That's the thing that sets Michael off. I love that. Mm-hmm. That's the last straw.
Take it back.
It's the car. Oh, man.
Oh, God.
It's just the funniest car that Michael could have chosen. Like a Chrysler. It's like this convertible that's just like... It's not like a fancy convertible. It's a terrible car to have there. It's just like that must have been the only close to a sports car option that he had as far as a corporate car.
You know it.
And they're like, well, I guess you could have that. But, you know, why would you? It's such a good choice for Michael.
Yeah. a PT Cruiser, I could have seen him in as well.
Well, doesn't he end up with a PT Cruiser?
Does he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
the red
right.
PT Cruiser.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, my gosh. You're right. I was like, I don't know. I was like, why am I envisioning him in a PT Cruiser? Okay.
Yep.
Any other favorite moments? I mean, I brought up the slack line thing where Andy has to. I mean, it's not one of my favorite moments. That's some of the worst Andy Bernard in the entire series.
Let me show you how a real man walks across a flaccid cord.
A flaccid cord. Remember who were his two instructors?
Feather and Link.
Rafe.
I almost Well, we got ourselves a yard sale. That's what Clark says one of the times that Dwight falls off. I don't know why that line always sticks with me. I also think too of when Dwight sets up the bicycle thing weighed down by the copy machine.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
In a line, there's a line where he gets Pam to come up and asks her to be his counterweight on.
Oh, yeah.
She says, get someone else. Why not Phyllis? And Dwight says, Phyllis, are you getting me the second she stepped off that wire? I'll be launched into space. And like, that's a line that in the terms of the comedic tone of the show, like seems to be a little bit too broad or a little too silly, but it always makes me laugh.
The visual is just too good.
Yeah.
The visual is just too good. When Dwight and Kevin are like lighting off the fireworks and Jim and Pam are watching from the rooftop, is that in the parking lot or are they like, they're in like it's a like, vacant lot?
They're in it's an like empty a, field or something.
It's across right. the street okay. or something. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And they're like running through the firework. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Another event that happens in the parking lot that I almost forgot about was when Michael Scott Paper Company first starts out, they have their little pancake event.
The pancake luncheon.
Yeah, that's right. And Creed comes down and says, like, you got to make them circular, boss. They don't cook all the way. Oh, he's like, I don't even want these. And he's like,
square pancakes.
Steals all the pancakes in his jacket.
That's a really good. That's a good good callback there. I forgot about that one.
I almost forgot about that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, what? We've certainly been through several of them. But
there's a great moment where Kevin is talking to the camera. I can't even think of in my head what he's saying to the camera. But Angela is trying to leave, and mm-hmm. she almost bumps him with her car, and then she just honks, and he's yeah. like, going. I'm getting out of the way. She doesn't even say anything to him. She just looks, and makes eye contact, and continues to honk. Yeah. She drives away.
There's some just amazing moments in the parking lot. I think they always used it really well to get the office workers either out of their comfort zone or teach them a new lesson or things like that. I mean, it's certainly a place where a little bit more violence can occur, a little bit more action.
It's true. And I mean, even we haven't really talked about how much, you know, Kevin and Andy getting their spots back is such a big win for the staff there. As like,
oh my gosh, Andy doing his like dance where he's doing the wave.
He's doing the robot popping and locking as hybrid. The machines are driving away.
The guy
who wonders, how he's going to pay his mortgage on his apartment, how he's going to pay his kids' orphanage bills.
Yeah. But that's one of the only times we get any like the weird conflict with other people in the Scranton Business Park.
And for Kevin too, he mentions after Stacy left, it was hard to see and mm-hmm. well, it just feels good to win one. Mm-hmm. That is one of the most heartfelt Kevin moments in the whole series.
No doubt. And it's just getting their parking spots back because we see people, all these shots of people walking in from all this length. And it's,
I will quit.
I know. It's like they're crossing the Sahara Desert. It's just like they're like rubbing their feet along the side of the road. It's like, yeah, these are pretty soft people. Yep, there's no doubt.
I think one of my favorite moments too, just in the parking lot, is just like, the You've Been Meatballed cold open where mm-hmm. Stanley and Dwight mm-hmm. cheers their meatballs.
Yeah, the whole bag. Yeah, sir.
Or everybody doing yoga in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
In the finale is also a really nice moment.
Dwight has adopted Japanese business techniques.
I love it.
Anything else?
I had one and it just slipped out of my mind. Oh, man.
Damn it.
Oh, here it is.
Ah.
Here's one.
Yes.
Aaron, completely covered in dirt. Planking is the kind of thing where you either get it or you don't. And I don't. But it's just fun to be a part of it.
Because he's just laying down like on that little curb stop. Mm-hmm. Oh my
There's
gosh.
The Christmas cold open where they all try to take the same picture.
Oh, and they do the jump.
Jumping right. Yeah. I don't know why, but I'm thinking of the moment at the beginning of season 9. It begins with Aaron walking into the parking lot. Andy's back.
Oh, yeah.
They use it to establish a lot of things. When at the end of Crime Aid, when they've been robbed, the camera follows the police car into the parking lot to begin like a new day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. I just had one too. Oh, Creed, Great Bratton, Creed showing up as acting manager and throwing his keys out.
Keep
to
it
nobody.
Running.
Yeah.
Yes. And the parking lot also is, of course, the picture that Pam paints that Michael buys mm-hmm. and that
That's
we eventually
right.
see again. At the very end of the show, as one of the last scenes, is just the shot of the parking lot. And, you know, Michael, you know, oh, is that my car? And it's just Pam and Michael's
car
is in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. That's sort of the enduring image we get at the end of the show is just this portrait of this place. And parking lot's part of it.
It's so funny how to...
You have it right next to you, Sean, don't you?
I do. I have it mm-hmm. taped up right next to me when we do our Zoom recordings. But, yeah, I mean, it's great that you brought that up, too, because... I think that there is something about the parking lot that's a little feels a little bit like the heart of The Office, because Greg Daniels, like one of his, you know, analogies for explaining the show was, it's like a big parking lot with a flower growing up in the cracks, you know, and that's what The Office is supposed to be about. It's all supposed to be really boring and bland and just, you know, the American workforce, the American workplace, but something, just one little special thing every now and then comes
couple
out of
weeds,
it.
A little bit of cheap grass coming up to the sidewalk.
As Michael says to Dwight, when he allows him to play on the basketball team, he says, the hand strikes and gives a flower.
Mm-hmm.
You will not play basketball.
Well, if there's any other moments that you guys can remember, let's speak now. But if you guys at home listening, please. He's got one.
Certainly there are more, but I don't think we need to continue just listing.
Yeah, right. I know.
Yeah, but if you haven't been paying attention, today's episode is all about Michael's office. We've been cataloging every moment in Michael's office.
But yeah, let's move on to a conference room. 5 minutes.
Conference room, everybody, now.
Nice.
Oh, got the Pam one in there. All right. So for this week's conference room, we're actually going to be following up on something we did on last week's episode, which is talking about non-musical earworms. These are things that just stick in your head, that just lines from The Office you say in your head all the time, mm-hmm. or moments. And we got a lot of response. A lot of people sent in. I guess we asked for them, but a lot of people sent in theirs. So I'm just going to go through. I got a ton of voicemails about them.
Oh, great.
I'm not going to play all the voicemails. That would just take way too long, but I did write them out. So let's just jump through these other earworms. I related to all of these. Like, so many of these were like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I think that all the time. Starting first with Elizabeth in Winnipeg, the line when Michael refers to an MP3 as an M3P, and Jim just says, nope, that's not it. during the Devil Wears Prada cold open, when Pam says, he's going to kill me, that little phrase there. And of course, Michael asking for the wet pavement ideas. I love it. That's a really
love it more.
One. Yep. Susie in Phoenix, hers was from the episode The Injury, when Michael says, I hit my elbow on the wall and now I have a protuberance, or whatever he says.
Protuberance.
Protuberance. Mindy in Utah, when, Oscar says it to Angela when it's when Oscar says, this is great, which is when Angela finds out that there is a department that could cut someone to save money
before they
Kevin in the way that Oscar says, this is great. Becca from Washington says that Andy asks, beer me that disc, and the way Jim says, Lord, beer me strength, plays all the time in her head. Eddie in Pittsburgh, he says this out loud automatically without thinking. Whenever he sees someone doing something stupid, he just goes, oh, there's Gil, Oscar's roommate. I wonder if he knows. and he said his son also says that all the time, so that his wife hears it in stereo constantly.
That's parking lot
so
moment.
Funny.
Yeah, that is a parking lot moment.
Everyone looking down into the parking lot.
Yep.
That's right.
Joseph in Florida. The scene when Jim and Creed are in the kitchen. Creed says, we had a funeral for a bird. Jim says, I'm pretty sure none of that is real. You're not real, man. That line from Creed. And finally, great. Jack from Minnesota, who originally suggested this as something we talk about. When Pam and Dwight are stuck in the elevator, when Dwight is mashing the buttons going, Hank, can you hear us?
Hank, can you hear us?
Yes. Those are all the ones I got from voicemail.
Oh, those are great.
I think, did you have some more, Edwin?
Yeah, we had a couple come through on social media. Amy from PA says, get my nod on.
Oh, yeah.
wow, you really shrewded that.
Yep.
Stanley and I are close. We sit close.
That's a really good one.
It has to be real, and it has to be urine.
Oh, I love that one.
And
that
then the last
is a great one.
I like the tangy zip of Miracle Whip.
Yeah. Of course.
And then we had Zach, who sent this on Instagram.
I do not think that is funny.
Zach on Instagram.
Did I stutter?
mentioned one that he didn't love, but it stands out to him. Is when Michael, it's in the surplus where Michael says, "Now we're going to resolve this issue."
Oh yes.
yeah.
I actually really love
Hank
that one.
Hank will resolve this issue. Yeah.
I love that one because I want to use it in conversation, but I can't imagine anyone will actually know exactly what you're referencing.
Go ahead.
Oh, and then last one that I can think of, I think Erica in Baltimore sent us William Doolittle at your service.
Oh yes,
aka Will Do.
Okay, Will Do. That's a future drop coming. Mm-hmm.
That's
I think
a great
we have
one.
A couple more come in, but I'm sorry. I apologize if we missed you. Yeah,
we'll keep doing them because they're so much fun. I mean, it just made me realize there's one that I have from Murder, which is, Michael, did you throw up in here? Nope, just pooping. You know how I be. Smells like throw up. Crazy world, a lot of smells. I love to say that.
Ooh, crazy world, a lot of smells is a real. That's a real one.
We do say that a lot. Yeah,
just pooping.
The entire foundation of our podcast is us talking about things and then saying earworms as they come into our heads.
That's why the show exists. Yeah. That's true.
That is the foundation of the business we are hoping to create.
Cool, box it up.
Cool, box it up.
All right, yeah. Time for some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Okay, trivia coming in from Ross this week. Says, hey guys, had a lot of fun rewatching season one and putting together this trivia. Obviously, ooh, use as much or little as you like. I love the show and would love to hear my trivia on an episode one day. Thanks, Ross.
Nice, he's going to be so excited.
So excited. Now, again, there's still people who've sent in trivia. We're holding it for when we do certain topics, when we do certain things. So
yeah.
Yeah, don't worry.
Like when we talk about The Office.
Like yes.
Yeah.
The episode trivia.
If you take the time to make a trivia and send it to us, like we are seeing those come in. So thank you so much for doing that. We know you're saving us the work. So we know how much work it goes. You guys put into it, and we love it. And thank you so much to everyone who sent us trivia.
And Edwin, you should just know we have several challengers stepping up.
Okay.
Including Mindy in Park City, Utah, who did say she can't wait to destroy you in trivia.
Wow.
Which is bold. We'll set that up later. That'll be coming. But they're lining up. They're lining up to take you down. All right, let's get on to trivia here. This is all from season one. I'm just going to kind of jump around here. We're going to start with Diversity Day. Mm-hmm. What is the name of the big client that Jim is trying to close on throughout this episode?
I mean, it's Mr. Deckard.
It is Mr. Deckard.
You're talking about the...
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Nice.
And then what type of paper is Jim trying to push on Mr. Deckard? For how much more money?
Premium bond.
Cardstock?
No, the recycled for 1% more. What two races is Dwight attracted to?
White and Indian.
Very good. What does Diversity Today's acronym HERO stand for?
Honesty, empathy, respect, and openness.
Very good.
Wow.
And when Michael signs the HERO pledge, what name does he use?
Daffy Duck.
That's correct. All right, last one from Diversity Day. Let's see if we can get all these ones. What are all the nationalities and ethnicities used on the staff's foreheads? So match them up.
Okay.
And who
has Jamaican? Yeah. Kevin is Jamaican.
No.
Wait, no. Kevin's...
Italian.
Yes.
Italian.
Maybe some spaghetti.
Yeah.
Angela's Jamaican.
Angela's Jamaican, yes.
Dwight is Asian.
Dwight is Asian.
Pam is Jewish.
Yes.
Stanley is Black.
Stanley's Black. Right.
Michael is Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
We're missing four.
Oh, wow. Boy.
We only see them briefly, I think.
Okay, can you give us the characters, I guess?
It's Oscar, Phyllis, Meredith, and Creed.
I mean, is Native American one of them?
Mm-mm.
He didn't use Middle Eastern because he thought it would be too explosive?
Yeah.
All right.
I think you should just give him two.
Oscar, Oscar was Eskimo. Yeah. Phyllis is Haitian. Meredith is Brazilian and Creed is Puerto Rican.
Okay.
Don't we see Kelly? I thought we saw Kelly as someone.
But she comes in later.
That's right.
And she doesn't
play the game.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. From Episode 3, Healthcare, what TV show is Jim talking to Pam about at her desk?
The Apprentice?
No. No, no, no. It's Trading Spouses.
Oh. Wow. That's a throwback.
Sure is.
I wouldn't have gotten that. That's right. I remember.
Here's a tough
that,
one. What's the deductible on the plan that Dwight picks in healthcare?
$1,200?
Yes. Wow. On the nose.
Ooh. My goodness.
Very good. What toy is Michael playing with when he calls Pam from his office saying he is so busy?
The truck?
Yeah, the Dunder Mifflin semi truck.
Busy, busy, busy.
When Michael goes to the travel agency, where does he want to take the office?
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City, very good.
That's right.
And what are all of the fake medical conditions that are submitted during healthcare?
Okay, okay.
Not that they're actual fake medical conditions, but what do people send in?
Hydrodento... Oh, man.
Dentroplosion?
Spontaneous hydrodentroplosion.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Killer nanorobot infection.
Yes.
Hot dog fingers.
Hot dog fingers.
Count choculitis.
Yes.
Inverted penis.
Inverted penis, yes.
Anal fissures.
No.
That's a real one.
Oh, well, that's it. Yeah.
Somebody Kevin. Has it.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, Kevin. Sorry, bud.
Oh, man. Ouch.
Ross also put leprosy and flesh-eating bacteria on here as
those
well.
Those are no, but those are both correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Michael says he learned improv from the greats. Who are the three people he referred to?
Ryan Stiles.
Yes.
Robin Williams.
Yes. Last guy is the host of the show that Ryan Stiles was on.
Oh. Drew Carey.
Drew Carey.
Whose line is it anyway?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right, let's finish. We'll do all these from episode 4 from the Alliance.
I love it.
What is Dwight's excuse for why the water cooler is near his... what is Dwight's excuse for why the water cooler is near his desk?
Because he brings his own water to work, and he wants to hear the...
Scuttlebutt.
The scuttlebutt.
Oh, it says maintenance. Like, he's doing maintenance on it.
Well, so what happens is they say... It cuts to, like, he delivers a talking head and it cuts to the water cooler just at his desk.
Right.
And they say, why did you do this?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What themed party did the party planning committee throw last year?
80s?
Yes, the 80s party. Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yes.
What is Oscar's nephew's charity for?
Diabetes?
No.
MS?
No.
Heart disease?
No. You were going to, you're cancer. A little warmer, Sean.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know what is
Parkinson's?
It?
Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy. Okay.
Michael is thinking of what to write in Meredith's card. He says, "Meredith, Mary had a little lamb. Don't bring that lamb to work, or it will
poop on the floor."
Poop on the floor.
Nice.
Michael has a sign on the drawer behind him that says, "Whistle and I'll what."
I don't know.
Whistle and I'll fart.
Oh. It's on the... Okay.
Oh, my God.
During the Alliance, whose birthday was it actually that day?
Toby?
No, Ryan.
Ryan. Yep. That's
he
right.
says it to Toby. And, oh, really? Happy birthday.
All right. Last one from these season one ones. How did Michael get from Daryl to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? What's the transgression of those names?
Daryl Philbin.
Yeah.
Regis Philbin.
Yeah.
Raj, Mr. Roger.
Yeah, then Reege, then Roger, then Mr. Rogers. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very good. That'll do it.
Hey, all right. What a great trivia. Thank you so much. Who sent that to us again?
Ross.
This was Ross. And there's still episode 5 and 6, so we'll store that for later.
Nice. Thank you very much, Ross. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Please give us a call and send us your questions and comments, 503-694-9314. You can call and leave us a message. We love to play them on the show. You can email us your own trivia or your own favorite earworms or whatever you'd like, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod, and we have a website, michaelscottpod.com. You can join us on patreon.com/Michael Scott for $5 a month. You can become a Scott's Tot. We just did another mailbag episode for the Scott's Tots.
So much fun.
couple so days casual. Ago, and it's so much fun. If you join the Patreon, you've got like a direct line to us to send us questions, and we always go through and answer all those. And we're trying to come up with more fun stuff to do with you guys. Maybe even getting some people to challenge Edwin at trivia.
We're gonna have the videos of the mailbags. We'll put those up on there as well.
Yep.
And again, this is all for $5 a month, and you get to support the show. You get to actually help us continue to make the show and have the resources to do that. Which we really appreciate.
For real. Thank you guys so much. Thank you like so much to our Patreon supporters, our Scott's Tots, and especially
and you get a private podcast feed, by the way, when you sign up. So
that's right.
You're getting this exclusive feed just for the Tots.
That's right. That's right. Special thanks also to Ryan Lowe, who helps us with our social media and designs our artwork. And this episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Thank you again to everyone, our Patreon subscribers, of course, but to everyone who's listening, who continues to listen to us, support us, rock with us. Thank you. We appreciate and love every single one of you. Take care. Stay safe. And we'll see you next week.
Pippity Poppy, give me the zap.
Yes, sir.